welcome everybody out to the DDD podcast. We got a special Golden Door deep dive with one of the OGs of the industry, Brother Brigham freaking Lindsay. Dude, how are you doing, dude?
I'm doing good.
Dude,
doing
so glad to have you up here. Thanks. Especially after a big summer. It was fun kind of walking through some of your stats just barely off the podcast. But just for those who were not a fly on the wall here in this room, let's walk through your stats and kind of how you got started in the industry.
So I started back in 2012. I did like 5 weeks my first summer, and then from there fell in love with it. 2013, I did 653 accounts my first summer, and then
that was back in 2013 then?
Yep. And then 2015 was the first summer that I hit over 1,000. So I did 1,100. And then I did it again in 2016. And then 2017, I did my best summer, which was 1,200.
Yeah. So you did Golden Door before Golden Door was even Golden Door back in 2015. So were you with Aptiv that whole time then? Or?
Yes.
Cool.
Yep.
That's awesome, man. So planted your roots, grown in one place the whole time.
Correct.
That's awesome. So, you know, you've had an extensive career. Now let's like talk about this last summer, because we were talking about, you know, you had a history of selling, and then, you know, you stepped off the doors to kind of help grow your organization. And then this past year you got back on the doors. So what's kind of the story behind that?
We just started this new kind of region, drip marketing, and I partnered up with a few other regionals at Aptiv, and honestly, like, it works out great because, you know, their strengths, I don't need to, and at least, I guess the first summer, I really just want to kind of put a name for ourselves. So I was like, all right, I can go out there and hit a Golden Door, or, you know, hit a big number, help our teams out.
Yeah.
And just start off on the right foot. That was kind of the main reason. And then also just Aptiv in general, anyone that knows like about that company, we kind of had a rough 2022. And so leading up into 2023, I just felt that urge to get out there and have its back. You know, it's been so good to me. It's changed my life, blessed my life in so many ways. I'm like, you know what, if I do have that opportunity to kind of give back, then let me do it. And so it works out great. It was a win-win.
Yeah.
For me and my family, then also for the company and for the new region.
I love that. Yeah, kind of like an opportunity to be like, you know what, you've provided for me, let me like provide for you in a way.
Yeah, it gave me like a good why.
Yeah.
You know, and that's half the battle. Probably even more than that when you're out there shooting for like a big number, is you have to have a reason why you're doing something.
100%. And I love what you guys are doing with Drip, by the way. Like, your guys' branding is awesome. You got some heavy hitters. Who are all the hitters on Drip Marketing then?
So we got Jake West. We have Aubert L'Esperance. He's going to kill me if I mess that up.
L'Esperance.
Yeah. We got Brent Snyder. We have myself. We also have a bunch of guys that hit over 500K.
Yeah. So big hitters, but weren't Golden Door, but big hitters.
Big hitters. Could have hit Golden Door if that would have been like the mark. I think for whatever reason, Aptiv just set the bar at 500K.
Gotcha. But it sounds like it's been raised to that Golden Door, 650K now.
Yeah. Yeah. We want to go out there and get after it.
Oh, so cool. But yeah. And then, you know, big shout out to Aubert as well. Looking great as kind of the model for it. You guys got some swag now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm loving it. The branding has been on point. So, that's always been the historic, I remember in a recruiting meeting with Donnie, like years and years ago,
Yeah.
He was trying to recruit me from Vivint. He was like, you know, Vivint does have the swag. I'll give you guys that.
Yeah, that's true. But I've always been jealous of it.
I think you guys are making a comeback on that, making a splash.
We're going for it. It's all you can do, right?
Absolutely. So walk me through your stats then. How much revenue did you put up? How many accounts did you do this last summer?
Last summer, personally, did 656 or 57,000.
Mm-hmm.
Did it in about little over 3 months, and that's with traveling and helping the whole like partnership as well.
Gotcha.
So it was fun. It was
so great. You both, you know, had the hat of manager, regional, and the hat of top performer.
Yes. And I'll say this though, it's a lot easier when you have three other guys that you can count on and rely on to, you know, handle everything that needs to be done when you just need to put your head down and focus on, you know, certain thing. So that definitely helps.
So delegation's a big role in that as well. Like, you know, you don't have the whole world on your shoulders, sounds like.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Which, you know, is also a plug to, you know, seeds of management getting planted years in advance to where you have guys that are kind of like your duplicates.
Absolutely.
Which is awesome. So, you know, as a history as a top performer, walk me through some of the, like, I'm sure you've had a lot of guys come to you asking for advice. Where do you see most guys fail in their journey towards greatness?
Yeah. I mean, I've thought about this a lot. I would say that if a rep can find a big enough reason, I know it's so simple, and I think we've probably heard this plenty of times on the podcast before. But if a rep can figure out the reason why he actually wants to do it, and it has to be greater than the pain that he's going to go through during the summer, that's my number one tip. I mean, it's as simple as it sounds. Like, if you just kind of want to do it, but you don't really actually have a reason why, or you don't create that reason, then, you know, when times get, like, it's all fun and games until you get out there and you get your, you know, face kicked in.
Yeah.
You have to climb over some crazy walls during the summer. You have to have that reason why you want to keep going, you know, because like a lot of people could have done it or could do it, but they don't really have that, like, I guess, it factor, that X factor that makes them push through all those, you know, hard times.
Yeah. And it's interesting having interviewed so many Golden Door winners, because the pitch is essentially the same thing. There's only so many ways you can say 3 feet up, 3 feet out. My trucks are in the area. What really, in my opinion, differentiates those is the element of belief and the element of, like you said, having that why. So how does one really discover that why?
Every summer for me, it's something different. I have to, like, take some time and think about, like, why, like, what is it that's going to drive me to, like, go out there and make it happen again? I think one of the smartest things I've ever done was after I sold 1,100 accounts in 2015. I went out there in 2016, sort of believing that I was just a better salesman.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, you know what? Like, I'm actually, like, legit now. I
didn't. Yeah, I'm accounts. Good.
Yeah, like I can just go out there and just do it again. But then the thought hit me. I'm like, well, what actually entailed me to go out there and hit 1,100 accounts? It was, like, hard work.
Yeah.
Like, I had to go out there every single day and give it literally my best. And so that's when it hit me. I'm like, no, I'm not a better salesman necessarily. Like, I have to go out there and put the same effort and the same, like, drive and that same passion into hitting it again. And because I think a lot of guys have that, like, good summer, but then they drop the next summer.
Yeah.
They either get complacent, they don't feel like they need anything, they don't have anything to prove, whatever it might be that's holding them back. So I'd say my number one thing is, yeah, like, figure out what your why is. Belief is definitely a strong, you know, indicator of what someone's going to do that summer. You can start to, you know, positive affirmations before you hit the summer. You can start putting the goals on the mirror, saying things like, hey, I've already done it. All those things are going to help. Yeah, I mean, give yourself more time too. Like, if it takes you a little bit more time, like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Get out there early, stay out later, whatever you need to do to kind of hit it.
Absolutely. Were you the first or one of the first reps to ever hit 1,000 accounts sold in the summer?
Yes. I don't know who. I know there was a couple people that have done it before me. I'm not exactly sure how long it took them or anything like that, but I was one of the first ones.
Yeah. So what inspired that jump to want to do 1,000?
You know, it's actually crazy. I was just kind of pissed because I did 650 my first full summer is the way I say it. And then the second summer I did it again, which I really wanted to hit 700. I even had, like, the dirt bike on the wall.
Yeah.
Like, I was going to get myself a dirt bike if I hit it. And I just kind of got to the end of the summer and I was like, you know what? This dirt bike, I could care less about it at this point. I just want to go home.
I'd rather go home than get a dirt bike.
Yeah. So I've always kind of had that, like, weakness about me where when it gets close to that end, like, I'm ready to bounce. But that the next summer I was like, it has to be an intrinsic why, you know, it can't be anything materialistic. So actually the last, I had, like, a whole list of reasons why I need to dominate summer of 2015 was the poster I had. And I had all these reasons why, and the last reason was a financial reason. I think it was number 8. The number one was I dedicated it to my brother who had passed away, like, 4 months before the summer started. And so that, like, really, like, if you want to have, like, a big reason why, like, dedicate the summer to somebody you love. You know, do it for other reasons besides like materialistic items or money. Cause that's what's going to really drive you through those tougher times. So it was actually pretty easy. Like it never fazed me. Like when it was raining, I looked at it as an opportunity to get ahead of my competition. When it was hot or when I was struggling or when I was tired, I realized that, hey, when other people are tired or when other people are, you know, not wanting to get out there on the doors, if I do it, then that gives me a little bit of an edge. And so all those little things added up, just like so many little one percenters here and there, that's what pushed me over the limit. So I actually didn't have a goal, believe it or not, to hit 1,000 accounts. My goal was just to have the best summer I could. And I knew that just what that entailed was accumulating every single day during the summer, doing the best I could each individual day. And if I could do that, then I was happy. So yeah, it was really focused more on effort too. So if I was mentally focused, if I was mentally in tuned throughout the day and I was able to give it like a lot of time, I was like, I went home happy camper.
Yeah. Right?
Like I didn't care what I did. It just so happened that the effort is a direct result, or your results are a direct correlation with your effort.
Yeah. This is something I've been thinking about recently. Had some people hit me up, you know, about Golden Door, about kind of what the numbers are for it and if they should set that as their goal. And I, you know, a couple guys, I'm like, you know, focus on your inputs. So I'm curious what your thoughts are on this. Like, is it better to have like that set goal? Okay, this is 650K revenue. That's my goal. Or my goal is strictly inputs. I'm just going to go do the best that I can and see what I come up with.
I would say a little bit of both. So reverse engineering is the way that I'd look at it. Like if you really want to hit a golden door, you have to be somewhat realistic with yourself and say, okay, well, you know, maybe I need to give myself a little more time. Maybe I need to go out there and hit some preseason, or maybe I need to not put an end date to my summer and just go out there and do the best I can every day until I hit it. And then when I hit it, I can go home or whatever it might be. But I would say, look at it, reverse it. Like if you want to hit 1,000 accounts or if you want to hit 650K or whatever it might be, reverse engineer and say, okay, this is what it's going to take for me to do it. But it's going to boil down to you hitting your inputs for sure.
Yeah.
On a daily basis, as much as you can. You know, working at, I call it the optimal or optimized level. Like when your brain is, you know, on point, that's when you should be working the hardest. That's when you should be like, you know, digging deeper and working longer. So
yeah, totally. What in your opinion are the basic inputs everyone should be doing?
It's for me, I actually have boiled it down into three main things. I mean, it just depends on who you're talking to. If it's a vet, I would say, or if it's someone that's done this for like a few years, this is what I would say, keep it super simple and go out there, set some sort of parameters. Like, okay, I'll never start past this time. But like, if you need a little bit of extra time to get into the right like mental zone, then I would recommend you do it. For me, it's just whatever, it's the question. The big question is this going to make me more sales or not? So if sales is the center of everything that you're doing, that's how you know if you're obsessed. You need to be obsessed. But I would set parameters with the time that you're out there on the doors. Make sure that you're like really, really focused on your mentality and how to stay in like the right zone. The way you do that is reflect back on a day that you've done really well and just copy everything you did that day. Just think about that day. Visualize that day. Attach today or the day that you're selling with the day that you've done really well and just pretend like it's the same day in a sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different things, but the three things I focus on personally every single day to get myself sort of in the right headspace is, number one, keep a good attitude after every door, no matter what. Like if I can keep a good attitude and if I can just have a good time on the doors, like that's, for me, is so much of the battle. Number two is just urgency in general. I've learned over the years that like, whether you have a week to do something or a couple days, you know, your brain will figure out a way to make it happen. And so give yourself a little more credit, have higher urgency, and also honor your time that you're out there. Like if you're going to choose to spend time selling versus spending time with your family, like honor your family by going out there and doing your best on the doors. So urgency is the number two. The number three would be just keep it simple. I'm a guy that will overtalk sometimes. Someone asks me a question or like sometimes I'll get excited and start overtalking. Just keep it simple, get straight to the point, be concise and close. And so if I personally focus on those three things, typically that sets me up to have a successful day.
Yeah. I want to talk to that first point, having a good attitude after every door, because a lot of guys, especially a lot of new guys, run into where they knock a door maybe they don't even get yelled at, but it's just like the energy's off.
Yep.
And so they walk away with the tail between the legs a little bit. How do you maintain a good attitude despite so many variables going into each interaction?
I think a lot of it has to just boil down to, like, do you actually believe that you have control over your day? Like, because for me, it's like, I look at that as a learning experience. I look at that as like a growth opportunity. Like, don't, like, knocking doors to me is like going to a mental gym every day. Like, I get to, just even like the language, I get to, not I have to, right? Like, I literally get to go out there and create new experiences and new, like, memories every single day. And I get to go do it with, like, human beings, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty crazy. Like, we pay money to go to the zoo.
Yeah.
And we get to go out there and literally knock doors all day with the most fascinating creature on the planet, the human being. And I get to just knock on their doors and talk to them and just vibe with them all day. So yeah. For me, it doesn't come like hard. Even if it did, don't get me wrong. I had to kind of develop some of these mental like skills or whatever you want to call them over the years. But for me, it doesn't come as hard as like a first shoot rep anymore, because I just see that as like a growth opportunity, like a learning experience.
Yeah. So what would your advice be to a rookie rep that is really struggling with their mentality on the doors as far as like just getting beat up by each homeowner they talk to?
When you have something that like you're striving to be good at, like it's a skill set, right? So if let's say it's going to the gym, the physical gym, every day you go there and you feel that burn, like it's not easy, but you always feel good when you leave and you can see the results after a while. It's the same thing with like the doors. Think of it like a mental gym. Like every time someone says no, or every time someone yells at you, like literally that's like going through like one of those reps that you're struggling with, but you know you're getting stronger every single time. And so I think it's just a matter of looking at it as in a new perspective, in a new light, and focusing, instead of focusing on all that, man, that guy just yelled at me, focus on that guy just yelled at me. That's going to make me stronger for my future.
Yeah.
And just little things like that. I mean, maybe I'm not thinking of everything right now, but that's the way that I try to, like, I guess, focus my lens.
Yeah. I'm not sure who said it. It was either Mike Tyson or Muhammad Ali or one of the boxers, but basically it was like, I start counting my reps when it hurts.
Okay.
And that's how I know I'm getting stronger. So the second that pain comes, that's, you know, start the clock.
Yeah.
As long as you can be in that pain as long as possible, that's where the most growth comes in.
Yeah. I mean, I still remember this day that I went out there with the best attitude possible. I was actually training in North Carolina and it was just a normal day. It was hot. I went out there with a really good attitude. I was thinking, oh, I'm going to hit like 7 a.m. I'm going to go big, you know, 8 a.m, whatever. And I think I got 1 and I'm like, okay, whatever. Went to lunch, shook it off. I said, okay, that was just a fluke. I'm going to go back out there in the afternoon and have a good afternoon. And same thing. I started with a positive attitude and just started to get wrecked. And then it started to rain, pouring rain, like really, really bad rain. I forgot my umbrella too. So now my iPad's like glitching out. Anyway, long story short, I come around the corner and I see these two kids and they're playing basketball in the rain, kicking, you know, puddles on each other and just like soaking wet, laughing, having a good time. And I'm just like this old man, miserable on the door, just like pissed. And I changed my attitude right then and there. I'm like, you know what? Screw this. I'm about to be like a little kid. I'm about to just have some fun on these doors. I'm about to be soaking wet and just have like a great time. And I started to crank out deals from then on. Like it was crazy how much of a perspective change created the right mentality for me just to be happy. And people started to perceive me a lot differently on the doors. Like you can't fake that stuff, right? Like when you're genuinely happy and when you're genuinely like in a good mood and vibing, people sense it on you and they like want to kind of figure out why, right? And they'll give you more time. They'll be nicer to you rather than see this like old guy that's on the door that's just drenched and he's just like upset. It's like, nobody wants to talk to me. You know what I mean? So.
No. Or, you know, same thing to that guy, you know, maybe that rookie kid that took that last door personally and his head, you know, he's just walking with, he's got that negative energy about him.
Totally.
He's going to project that. The doors, in my opinion, the doors are a mirror for your own self-perception.
Yeah.
And it's like, cool, if you knock on that door with like a down attitude, they're going to be down attitude about you.
100%. Yeah.
Which is crazy. But that, you know, this is the one of the easier things said than done. I mean, it's that whole Viktor Frankl principle where it's like between stimulus and response, there's a space to choose. So And again, so much easier said than done, but you still have that freedom to choose exactly how you react to every single point of stimulus that happens. So I don't know if you have any other comments or thoughts on that.
Oh, just say that. That's why it's super important to do your best to start off on the right foot, because then it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
If you're already off on the wrong foot, you know, you're uphill battle. And so that's why I personally will spend an extra 5, 10, 15, sometimes 30 minutes before I start knocking, just to make sure that I'm like locked in and like mentally focused.
Yeah.
On what it is that I need to do to get sales.
Yeah.
Like I'm focused, I'm reverse engineering. If I want to get a deal in an hour, like I got to figure out, okay, how am I going to do this? It's going to take these things. Let's focus on these things right here.
Yeah. What does that look like specifically for you then?
Just high urgency, keeping a good attitude, keeping it super concise. Cause I've got all the objections. I've got all like the format, the process, you know, memorized to a T, to the point to where it just comes out naturally and conversationally. So really it's just about me giving them and transferring the right enthusiasm, transferring the right emotion for them to like bite.
Gotcha.
I'm looking for those bites. I'm looking for those people that are like, they can feel it. Right.
Yeah.
So
what's your typical door like? Are you in and out of there pretty quick, or like, are you gauging them? What does that look like?
I think it just depends. The sharper I am, the more awake I am, the more like focused I am, the quicker I'm out. Like I can be in and out. I've timed it actually. It's about 6.5 minutes is where it was like a lay down, right?
Yeah.
But you can create lay downs. Like to me, a lay down is different than say someone else, you know, a first year rep knocks that same door. They might have 3, 4, 5 objections. I'm just able to hedge the whole thing and make sure that, you know, I can basically get in and out. But that's my goal, 6.5 minutes. But
yeah.
Typical sale for me, I'd say probably is more like 9, 10 minutes.
Yeah. But, and that's awesome too. But it goes to show you're not dilly-dallying. You're just to the point, concise, urgency, good attitude.
That's
what you were saying.
So proud of you guys listening, getting this far. I just love that you're investing in yourself and the time, whether you're driving out to area, you're in the gym. I just want to invite you guys to take one step further and come meet us in person. We have a business boot camp, a sales boot camp, and a recruiting boot camp, all 2-day live in-person events at our office where we take you, hold you hand on an intimate room, no more than 50 people, where it's like, let's role play how to go be a better salesperson at the boot camp. Let's role play and dive into recruiting strategies. We have 10 different modalities of how to go do campus blitzes on recruiting, or how to do Indeed ads properly, or our business leadership boot camp that is going in how to be a better manager, leader, create culture, coach reps out of slumps, training and onboarding, like all the things it takes to run a successful business. So whether you're trying to level up sales, recruiting, or leadership, we have a different boot camp for you, and they are happening every single month right here in Salt Lake City, Utah. Guys, don't be somebody who's just, oh, I'm here watching. Oh, I don't know if I'm worthy. I don't know if I can afford. I promise you, if you just go to theddexperts.com, schedule a demo, see when our next events are, you're not going to want to miss getting involved in person, hands-on, because that's where we really can help you. So hope to see you at one of our next boot camps. And I hope you guys continue listening and loving this podcast.
I want to speak to that next point too, with urgency. To you, what is urgency and how does one create it?
To me, urgency is my own perception of the value of my time. And so if I don't value my own time, then I can get distracted easily, whether it's social media, whether it's just whatever it might be, phone calls, text messages, whatever it might be. And so I have to sell myself first on why today is important. Like, what's the date today?
It's March 4th.
Okay. So today's March 4th, 2024. We will never get today back. It's also given. It's free. So each of us woke up today, at least the ones that woke up, because some of us didn't, you know, and that's something to consider too, something to think about. But everybody woke up today, it was given to us, it's free, but it's also priceless to the point where I don't care if you're a billionaire, you're not getting today back. And so spend it the best you can. So for me, I think about it as like, okay, well, if I'm not going to spend it with my family again, like I'm going to honor them and do the best that I can by taking today seriously.
Yeah.
And so that's the first thing is I will literally talk myself through those things every single day. To build urgency. And then I'll start saying things like, okay, well, I've only got 2 spots left in my truck. Then I'll go through the system of, okay, well, how do I create urgency within the sales process or within what I'm doing specifically today? Today's the only day that I'm going to be in this neighborhood for another year. Maybe never, right?
Yeah.
Most likely never. And so to me, it's like, today is like a special day for these people. I'm going to stop by their house and I'm going to, like, you know,
yeah,
100%, you know, give them my best pitch and I'm going to give them a great deal. And I believe in the service, especially just where Aptiv has gone with their service. Like, it's incredible what we offer now to customers. So I just truly believe that you have to sell yourself first, basically, is what it boils down to. And once you believe how important time is, then things will start to just kind of domino from there.
Yeah, because, you know, obviously urgency is such a big piece. But what's interesting, I've rarely thought about it as you got to sell yourself on that urgency. Tomorrow's not promised. All you have is today, memento mori, you know?
Absolutely.
And then now speaking to the third piece of your kind of three-part input equation is the conciseness.
Yeah.
Is that a word? Conciseness?
Yeah. Being concise.
Being concise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk to me about learning that and what that looks like to you.
It's just one of my weaknesses, I think, is I'll over talk, I'll overcomplicate it. I just have to recognize that the more concise I am, the shorter my objection like lengths are as far as like overcoming that, the more confident I am perceived, you know, or whatever I feel. So just for me, I think in general, it's just something that I have to be aware of personally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I talk too fast and I over talk. Those are my two weaknesses that I've found on the doors.
Yeah.
And so I just have to keep it concise.
I feel that on such a personal level. Yeah. Cause I'm like a bro-y kind of guy. Like I want to be homies with them super badly before I like cut straight to the point. And sometimes that works, but a lot of the times it's like, dude, what are you doing out here? Like, why are you talking to me about my truck? Like, I don't care. What are you out here selling?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And at that point, you just got to pull out the short range pistol and just be like, bada bing, bada boom. This is what absolutely. I'm doing. Yeah. So, if you're over explaining the product, it gets so complicated and customers just get caught up in the weeds.
Absolutely.
That's everything.
That's a great point. You know, you got to make it, the simpler it is for like, you have to make it seem simple. So mm-hmm. it's a simple, you know, answer.
Yeah.
Whereas the more you explain, the more you have to like go into the depth of what the products do and why they're important and all that. Like, don't get me wrong. If it's important to them, you need to answer it. But 9 times out of 10, they really don't care. They just want to get rid of their bugs.
Yeah.
You just got to keep it simple.
Absolutely.
So it's a good point.
Now kind of shifting into a little bit kind of different question. So, you know, if we were to wind the clock back 10 years and we were to tell you that you would still be at Aptiv 10 years down the line in 2024, did you think you would still be here 10 years later?
No.
What's kept you here then?
It's a mixture of things. Like, I've just always been a loyal person, and not to say that loyalty is always the best way, but for me, building relationships with the people around me, building something really cool and feeling like I'm sort of like in war, you know, with other, just the whole, within the whole industry, it's kind of like a very, I guess, competitive, right? Super totally. Competitive. And so to be able to like, I guess, take this whole experience and share it with, you know, the individuals at Aptiv has been a really fun experience for me to be able to get, you know, build those relationships. They've also taken really good care of me and they've been loyal to me. And so like, I haven't had like a huge reason to not, you know, do the same back.
Yeah.
And then just building something really cool. They have, you know, an amazing, it's blessed me with an amazing opportunity. For the ones that go all in and like catch the vision and do all the things that they're supposed to do, like there's an amazing opportunity for growth. And so I've been blessed enough to have a region and you know, have a really successful, like, I guess, downline as well as selling on top of that as well. So I guess it's a big mixture.
Yeah.
So
100%, which is awesome. I mean, just to see the year over year growth and whatnot. So I want to speak to leadership now, because, you know, having a successful downline is one of the most difficult parts of door to door, is training other reps to do what you do. What is your process for that? What does that look like?
A lot of it is just being able to transfer that enthusiasm to the reps and like help them realize that, you know, it really isn't so much what you say, but it's more of how you feel and just that energy that you're able to translate to somebody else. And so, you know, there's this, one of my good buddies, David Danes, he was actually the second guy to ever hit 1,100 accounts at Aptiv. And I'm not sure how many people had done it before him because he did it in 2017. But that was fun, you know, to be able to train him, to show him. I've trained other reps that have done, you know, 1,000 accounts or more. And so it's been fun in that sense. I guess my thing I'm most proud of, honestly, is just the reps. There's a year that we had just all rookies. So I was grown another downline. And I had some other teams in different markets, but my team was full, just nothing but rookies. It was just me. And we had an average of like 256 per rep. That was back when we counted accounts as the main kind of like, I guess, selling point in recruiting. And so we had a 256 average per rep average on that team, which was awesome.
100%. I mean, that's great for first year reps too. Really going out and ripping. Because I remember 2018, I was talking to Aptiv and they were like, yeah, if you could sell 300, that's like, you're good. And then, you know, the really good guys do obviously more than that. But yeah, that's awesome. So what, in your opinion, especially as you've been in the industry for so long and whatnot, what are some of the biggest mistakes you think leaders within the industry make?
Just looking at my own mistakes, sometimes you can be too harsh with somebody and you can deflate their confidence. You can deflate their doesn't allow them. Cause like the reality is like, if you can just keep their confidence up, you can keep good vibes, like they're going to get deals. And so just being overly critiquing a rep has been a mistake, that I've had to learn over the years. Not like fully taking advantage. Like I'm just looking at my mistakes, right? Like not fully take advantage of the recruiting season. I probably could have been even, you know, more. I could have done even more. I could have, there's a lot of, you get distracted, you call it the off season, right? You're still working hard, you're still doing things, but I'll be honest, like there's a lot of free time still, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's another mistake that leaders make. They sell themselves too short. Like they think that they're working really hard, but in reality it's like, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours a week in recruiting when they could have spent, if this was like looked at as a career, which I think it's starting to get to that point for a lot of people, then you're going to put more time into it.
Yeah. You know,
you're not just going to look at it as a 2, 3, 4 hour a week recruiting job. It's going to be a 20 to 30, 40, 50. Some guys are putting 60 hours a week in recruiting.
100%. Cause if you put 6 hours into your day job, you would get fired from that job.
Absolutely.
Especially if you have a standard that you have to meet.
Yeah,
which is nuts. I want to talk to that first piece that you talked about, you know, not being too harsh when critiquing a rep. What have you found has been like the best balance between like, you know, giving them confidence, but also correcting them if they're doing something wrong?
Setting expectations from the very beginning has worked well. So for example, I'll take a rep and say, hey, look, we're going to go through the pitch from start to finish. We're going to do all of these things from start to finish, objections, whatever. I'm going to stop you as soon as I hear something that I think you can do better. And then we're going to start over. And so the game is going to be, hey, we're going to help you memorize and kind of get you to a point to where I can let you loose on the doors and feel confident that you'll be good. So I think just setting expectations from the very beginning is good. But then I've also given them like a little more, I guess, positive reinforcement than maybe, you know, I would have for like a second or third or fourth year level rep. So just finding little things and being genuine about it, I think, is important, right? Like, dude, you have a really good way with people. I can tell that's going to be a huge positive for you, right? Or, dude, I love the way that you say half off. Like, I can really feel that emotion. That's going to help you a ton.
Yeah.
You change this one thing. I think that's the line that I use, is if you change this one thing, dude, you're going to see a whole world of a difference because you've got all these other things down right. And so, I don't know, I don't know if that's the right way to do it either, right? Tiptoe around a little bit, but try to build them up to the point to where they're not just killing themselves thinking that they're not doing anything right.
Yeah.
You know, give them a little bit of confidence, give them a little bit of a, I guess, positive reinforcement, a little bit of a boost.
Yeah, because then it's kind of like, you know, 2 steps forward, 1 step back, maybe in their confidence.
Right.
but it's still going up.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which is interesting. I like that. And then kind of moving into, would you say that applies to all, like, you know, rookies, vets, the whole spectrum?
Yeah. I mean, I got a funny story for you if you want to hear it. This first year rep, he really had no, he didn't have everything memorized. He was not, I mean, he was in like law school, I want to say, or he was at BYU, but he wanted to go to law school. And so he was like really focused on school. So there wasn't like a ton of training before the summer. He gets out there and his first day, he's like, okay, so tell me what I do if someone's interested type of deal. And I'm like, dude, you just do the garage close, right? Like tell them that, you know, you'll take care of the garage or whatever it might be. And that was about the extent of the advice I gave him in the morning time, other than he already knew like the basics of the pitch and all that. I pick him up for lunch and he's in somebody's garage. And I'm like, dude, how do you already have like four deals, five deals? Like I'm doing exactly what you told me to. I'm bringing them in the garage to close them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I did not tell you to do that. But I'm glad it's working. And he had his he had an 8 day on his first day. His confidence was so high. He was vibing so much with these people. He had 8 his very first day. He didn't have 8 again the entire summer until his very last day, which I thought was also very interesting. So I don't know. You tell me, does the skill, like, obviously his skill didn't get better from day one to day like 80 or whatever, right? And so I thought that was super interesting that it was totally his confidence, his vibe, and just his overall perception of how he was doing helped him have a big first day.
That's hilarious, though.
It is pretty funny.
You go pick him up. He's in the garage. No, this isn't what I told you, but hey, it's working.
Yeah. He ended up getting 4 or 5 more that afternoon. So, I mean, I'm not going to say that whatever he was doing was wrong. I mean, keep doing it, right?
Yeah. Gotta. If it works, it works.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that a lot. And then going back to, you know, kind of some of the mistakes that you've both made and have kind of seen in the industry, you know, what are some quick ways to self-correct, I guess? How do you keep your ear to the ground to yourself?
I think it's important to be a critical thinker. If you're talking about like on the doors or just like my own mistakes, like recruiting and stuff like that.
I think as far as being like a leader, how do you kind of maintain that objectivity with yourself? And on the doors, that'd be a good one for that too.
You just have to, like, if you've ever read the book Extreme Ownership, like you just have to take responsibility for everything. And so you have to look at it like, okay, this sucks that this happened and it doesn't, like, I don't know how it makes sense because I thought I was doing everything right or whatever. But this rep decided to leave and go somewhere else or whatever it might be, right? And you have to look at it from an internal perspective and say, well, there is a lot more I could have done, right? There, I could have done this, I could have done that. Not to beat yourself over, you know, not to beat yourself up about it, but at the same time, it's like take responsibility, ownership, and then make changes. Let that be like fuel for the fire to keep going and to have even a bigger, better downline.
Absolutely. And now kind of like on the doors, how are you self-correcting while knocking?
I like to be a critical thinker. I think that's actually a good thing to focus on during the day. It helps you stay focused. It helps you like sharpen that saw, whatever you want to call it. Always becoming better. Always like you have to think of sales as an actual skill set that you can improve because then it makes it more of a game. And so if I'm 2-3 doors in and I'm not getting any like good signs of they're not recepting anything I'm saying, I'm thinking to myself saying, okay, I need to talk slower. I need to give them better eye contact. I need to do these things and then I can focus on that.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, there's been days where I've just really started off on the wrong foot, whether it's a competition day or whatever, and realizing that, hey, it's going to be okay, whatever. And understand that stress and the anxiety and the pressure, it may not be a good thing for you on that specific day. And so you just got to let it go and be like, I'm just going to focus on having good conversations with people. I'm just going to focus on enjoying the job. And, you know, having gratitude, I think, is one of the most underrated emotions in sales. And so just finding ways that you can legitimately be grateful while you're out there on the doors is super important. So I just try to focus on those things I know are going to help me get to the sale. And being a critical thinker after every door, you know, I wouldn't recommend it like after every door because you can be OCD or obsessed about it.
Yeah.
But just
you don't want to waste time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like it's between doors, right? Like you're like, okay, this next door, I'm going to focus on having better eye contact or, you know, talking slower. But I think overall, it's a good thing to practice because then it helps you become better and you're able to kind of self-critique at the same time.
But. Absolutely. And then now kind of speaking, because you're talking about like sales is a learned skill set. What was the hardest part about learning that skill set for you and how did you learn it?
Well, I think what I love about sales is that you legitimately get to like meet and understand and just like be able to communicate with human beings on a daily basis. I think it's amazing. I think it's awesome. So that part came easy for me. Like I actually love people. I have empathy toward people, and I think that's an important trait in sales. But I didn't. I feel like I was a naturally gifted at it. Like I even sold 6 my first day, really not knowing too much about it. But I realized that there was a whole nother level to it if I trained and I like, you know, these little words, if I said those versus the other ones, or if I had the right energy, if I was smiling throughout the whole approach. So just, I guess learning the whole process, it took me half a summer to really realize how important it was. And once I started watching the videos and really kind of like training and trying to get better, I realized that there's a whole nother level to sales.
Yeah.
And you can continue to be better the more you learn and the more you, I guess, just kind of like, whether it's from personal experience on the doors or whether it's from a book, you're always can find a whole nother level. Yeah. Might get harder, you know, to find those next jumps, but there is those next jumps. You can figure it out.
For sure.
And I used to be very superstitious with everything I did. And then I realized one day that I cannot be superstitious today because I don't have enough time to do it. I have to go out there and see what's possible. And, you know, I ended up having a really, really good day. And so I was like, okay, cool. I kicked some of those superstitions.
Yeah. Superstitions. What do you mean by that? Like, oh, I have to wear a certain hat or like a certain outfit or what do you mean by that?
Yeah. I still have some, if I'm being honest, like, I think it, like I wear like basically the same shirt every day.
Yeah.
I wash it every couple of days if it's dirty, but you know, I mean, I just feel good in that shirt. I feel confident in it. And so again, yeah. I'm more focused on my vibe and just how I feel because I know that's really, really important for my sales process. But same shirt. I used to go to Chick-fil-A basically every day. I probably have more points at Chick-fil-A than anybody else here in Utah, I would guess.
Chicken genocide.
Oh, yeah. Like it was bad. Like they knew me, like they already knew my order, you know? So, yeah, Chick-fil-A, as far as like lunch goes, I'd usually eat the same thing for lunch. I would never eat my full lunch because I didn't want to go back tired. And so I just kind of got into a habit of leaving a few bites left just mentally. So I wasn't like full so I could be sharper on the doors. Same song, listen to the same song right before you start. Yeah. I have a lot of them, but you know, at a certain point you gotta be like, hey, it's either me or these superstitions making the sale. And I don't want to give control over to something else or anybody else. And once you realize it's all BS, then it's like, all right, cool. Let's go out there and make it happen.
Yeah. So what's your Chick-fil-A order then?
It's changed. I got really tired of bacon, but it used to be bacon, egg and cheese biscuit with a large Powerade to drink.
Mm.
Yep.
And what's it now?
Sausage, egg and cheese.
just got sick of the bacon. Had to swap out the meat.
Yeah.
Dude, the chicken minis. What about those, dude? Those are so good.
Yeah. If they ever gave me one for free, I'd take one.
Yeah. Love it, dude. Now kind of, you know, you're talking about, you know, kind of how you learn the technical aspects of selling, overcoming those like mindsets with different superstitions and whatnot. Talk to me about kind of the role of, you know, having good mentors and good leaders around you. What has that played in your career?
Dude, it's been huge. I mean, Chase Williams has helped me. He's just an amazing recruiter. And for the first like 7-8 years, he was like, you know, we worked hand in hand together. So it was great. I was really good at building relationships training and all that. He was just really good at like recruiting and getting them to commit for the summer. So that worked really well. Also Vess, you know, Vess has always been a great mentor to me, and it's been awesome just learning from him. You have to have people that like are either where you want to be, right? You want to like be able to listen to someone that is either A, where you want to be, or just can teach you things that you don't already know. And so I've always just looked at those guys as really big examples, you know, in my life, not just within sales, but just outside of sales as well. So it's been fun just learning from them. Tosh as well, Kyle Nielsen. They're all studs. Donnie. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Big shout outs to all those boys.
Absolutely.
And then shout outs, you know, to some of the boys in Drip Marketing as well. We've already given them shout outs, but you know, it's cool to see you take on kind of like a mentor role with, for them as well.
Yeah. It's transitioned. I mean, I still love sales. I still love to train, and I still do that. I'll be out there during the summer training a ton. But it's also fun to kind of see guys, you know, taking that next step into the battlefield where they want to go for, you know, a golden door. They went from 300K to 500K or mm-hmm. whatever it might be. And just to see those progressions in them personally. And then to have that gratitude, I think that's really, really important that reps and just in general, humans love to feel like they are grateful. I love to feel when a rep has gratitude toward me, right? Mm-hmm. For my time and for the energy and for me just absolutely caring about them. And so I try to do the same for my people, right? I try to show them gratitude in little ways. It's just a good feeling all together.
100%. And now kind of speaking, you know, a little bit to that as well. And, you know, with your experience, you know, 10 plus years on the doors, how do you help inspire that kind of long-term vision for your guys?
It's easier for me because I'm 39 and I'm still knocking doors. And so I don't buy into the excuses of, hey, I'm too old to be knocking. Mm-hmm. Cause then I just look at them and say, dude, have you seen my ID? You know? And for them to actually see me out there on the doors, on my Segway, looking like a goofy old man in the rain. I still knock in the rain. Like I still do everything that I used to be. I actually like it because it keeps me humble, mm-hmm. right? Like you can teach a man a lot of things, but to keep him humble, that's a hard one. You know, as you start to feel, I guess, success in your life. And so I think it's just a matter of showing them, leading from the front is a big one. That takes care of a lot of the, I think overall I'm pretty dang, I'm like genuine and sincere with my reactions and messages that I give to them. Like if I'm having a rough day, like I'll let them know, like, I'm not going to sit there and like complain about it, but like,
yeah,
like, dude, like I feel you. Today's been rough, but you know what? There's one thing I know about this job is that if you keep going, the only option is to win.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of inspire them by not feeding them this BS that like, maybe they think that. Or sorry, that I think they want to hear, but just giving them it exactly how I feel. You know, and I think that it resonates with reps.
Yeah, authenticity.
Authenticity.
I love that. Because that's, you know, that's always such a tricky part of any sort of job, any sort of leadership. Because if you're full of crap about something, if you're raining and you're like, this is amazing, and you're totally fake about it, refs can smell that a mile away. But if you're like, you know what? Yeah, it kind of sucks. Today's a little rough, but all I know is that if we control our inputs, outputs take care of themselves. We're due.
I love it.
That's just how the universe works.
It's true. You know, I mean, you just got to find, it's fun, you know, being able to have that relationship with reps where you're able to, you know, not feel like you have to throw out some BS because it's not a real relationship, mm-hmm. right? You want to.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie. There's sometimes I call my own reps and be like, dude, I'm struggling. Mm-hmm. I remember actually David, he knows this story. He's not even in the industry anymore, but he was the guy that hit 1,100 accounts. I remember having zero by lunch and I was just like, dude, I'm tripping. Yeah, I don't know what the freak's going on. I can't get a daggum deal, bro. this is crazy. This is insane. I'm sitting there in my truck, right? Taking a break.
Yeah.
And he goes, dude, this is where I learned the whole just have good conversations. He's like, dude, just take, you know, three, whatever, deep breaths, and just stop caring about getting any sales and just go out there and focus on having good conversations with people. And it took me a minute to kind of like change my perspective. I'm like, yeah, he's right. Screw it. I just need to go out there and have a good conversation. And I ended up selling eight that afternoon. And so I totally salvaged the day. Like, and it was a total amazing learning experience that I use so much, you know, throughout totally. The last like 5-6 years. And so, yeah, sometimes I'll call my own reps.
Hey, life hack. Why not?
Yeah. I don't recommend it a lot, obviously, but like at the end of the day, like if you've got, you know, a few people that they're just your dogs, like they're your dogs, bro.
100%. 100%. So, you know, with so much experience within the industry, how have you seen the pest control industry specifically change over the last, you know, 10, 15 years?
Back when I first started, it was mostly, it was just basically account driven. Who can sell the most accounts in a summer? Didn't really matter about contract value. That wasn't really even like a metric that we considered as something, you know, important. And so definitely contract value has been one. Another one has been just the pure volume, or not volume, but pure like volume of accounts with contract value. So total revenue, that's been a game changer. I've seen reps do both crazy, like volume and crazy contract values. Solar came in there for a little bit and hurt us quite a bit, if I'm being honest, back in 2020, 21 and 22 mark.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I have not seen a ton of like, we haven't had too many like crazy issues with solar this last year. I don't know if that's because of the interest rates or whatever. But it's been, you know, it's a battle, right? And so yeah. A lot of guys will just kind of jump ship whenever things get rough or things get tough. I just kind of put my head down and plant my feet where I'm at and just either sink or swim. Either we all make it totally. On this boat, or we're all sinking mm-hmm. on this boat. And that's just the way that I've decided to live my life, and everything. And so, yeah, there's been a lot of big changes, but overall it's been awesome because we've seen the growth. I mean, even just this last year at Door to Door Con, when I did it in 2017, it was like me and two other guys on stage.
Uh-huh.
That got a golden door. And now there was how many guys got a golden door just from pests?
60
guys. So if that doesn't give you some sort of like metric or like data point, that's like, okay, like pest is growing. I mean, there's, you know, that's a pretty cool one right there.
Yeah. 100%. It's so funny. Cause you know, I come from like the Vivint world and I've talked about this on the podcast, but it's like, you know, whatever industry you're at, you know, not knocking on Vivint, whatever, they're great, but like they always brainwash you to be like, yeah, pest is like the stupidest thing you could ever sell, and like bug juice. And then now after talking to like 30 plus golden door winners for pest, I'm like, oh yeah, I like pest now. Like there's actually something to it, and there's actually a lot of good money to be made in pest too. Like I'm a fan. Like call me. I was at dinner the other night with one of my old Vivint buddies, and he was like, yeah, pest. Like, I don't like pest. I'm like, dude, you don't get it though. Like pest actually pretty sick.
Yeah. I mean, I've always just had that, I guess, philosophy of if it's not broke, don't fix it. Like, sure, there's always going to be greener grass on the other side, but like, I don't know. It's cool to be able to focus on one thing and just get really, 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 really good at it.
Yeah.
Instead of like, oh, let's try this, or let's see about that. It's like there's no long-term, I guess, sense of just gratitude or accomplishment for one specific thing. Yeah. So that's why I always like am impressed with people that are able to just spend their entire career in baseball or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it might be. I think it's just cool to see a human being just become obsessed about one thing and see how good he can be at it.
Yeah.
You know. There's a lot of people that could have done great things that sold alarms that could have done it in pest or solar or vice versa or whatever. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to choose where you're going to put your time. And
yeah,
for me, the game is just where can this go? What's the potential, right?
Exactly.
What's the progression in this?
Yeah.
It's not about really who's better or whatever. It's like, no, let's just keep going and see where this can go.
Yeah.
So
I love that. Well, dude, I really appreciate you coming out here. All the nuggets that you've freely given. Do you have any parting words for the industry before we let you go?
Just have fun on the doors. Don't forget how important it is to have fun on the doors. Like, I feel like maybe that's one thing that I should have emphasized a little bit more is that I really, really, really do my best to have fun on the doors. My favorite line that I tell myself every day is if I'm going to get told no, every day, all day, like I'm going to have fun doing it. And so relax, it's okay. Like, it's just pest control, or it's just alarms, or it's just solar. Like, try to have fun on the door, try to connect with people, vibe with people, and you'll see that it'll help you make more sales, but it also just, in, you know, give you the best gift of it all, which is just happiness. Yeah. Being happy. I wouldn't want to be a slave to money. That's why I love what I do, right? I actually enjoy knocking doors. Not every day, and there's walls to climb, but I have trained my brain to actually enjoy knocking doors. I like challenges. I like everything about it. So you just got to put that in the right perspective. But joke with your customers. Have fun.
You got any funny door stories then?
I got a lot of them, dude. I got them on camera too. I did this one where I tried to cross one of my eyes and do the country accent. I'll try to do it for you on camera here. Is that the one I should be looking at?
Yeah, look at that one.
All right. Hey, how y'all doing? Good. Hey, I'm with Aptiv. I've never been able to finish it. I've never been able to get past like that part right there. But like,
what did they say?
I get actually pretty awkwarded out myself afterwards. I'm like, this is really awkward. I've probably done it like a handful of times, not many out of the 10 years. But there's just a point in the day where you're just getting your absolute butt kicked in that you stop caring about the deal. You're just like, dude, like, I'm just going to have fun. I'm going to figure out a way to have fun. And so I don't recommend doing anything crazy, but like in good spirit, right?
100%.
Like, it's all good. Like, people are people. I don't care if they're 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. One thing I've realized is that they all have young spirits.
Yeah.
Like, you can vibe and connect with anybody out there.
Totally.
It doesn't matter. And yeah, so there's several others that I do. I'll say like a specific word that's kind of a, I'm sure everybody probably does that. That's just kind of funny. It means probably nothing, you know? It's like, yeah. Oh, I'm taking care of the crawling jackrabbits. I don't freaking know, you know? Something silly. Just putting it in there to kind of have fun.
Totally. Keep it light. What a great way to end the podcast right there. Dude, thanks again for coming up. Guys, keep tuning into the podcast. We'll see you next time.